Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You can save an average of $470 on auto insurance. It's a lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think? Average nationwide annual savings survey data July to December 2020.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and the Lakers, without LeBron James, kind of wilting a bit. It was a close game. The Kings are up by 8 as the Lakers playing their final game before the break, 108-100. Buddy Hield's got 27 for the Kings. Meanwhile, off the bench, Montrezl Harrell's got 22. Kyle Kuzma starting for the Lakers tonight at small forward. He's got 22-10, but still not enough as the Lakers down by 8 with about 6 minutes left to go. And there's many teams where I can say, you know, where's the All-Star break coming, right? Is it coming at a good time? Are teams blowing through other teams and winning? Sometimes it comes at a bad time. Look, for the vast majority of teams in the NBA, this break is coming at a good time, all right? Because it's not a normal NBA All-Star break in which, okay, now we get to sit back and, boy, it's too bad we had that month and that week and a half break because we were playing so well. Every team needs it. The mental hurdles that they had to go through last year with COVID and coming back and playing and then having a short offseason, everybody is ready for the break. I don't think there is any team more ready for the All-Star break than the Lakers. With Anthony Davis dinged up, LeBron James playing a lot of minutes, there is no team that needs and desires and needs this break more than the Lakers do.
Yeah, I mean, Schroeder just comes back from being off. Gasol's been hurt. I mean, you got all the guys. And look, it's been some of the narrative in the, here in Los Angeles. Some would call it excuse-making. The reality is just facts, right? Guys are missing games. Guys are banged up. And LeBron James is playing 35 minutes a night. He needs a rest. All the overtime games, yes, and I know we've talked about it with Rick Bucher, among others, talking about where you might be able to find some rest where the clock is still moving, so you're still playing minutes, but longer possessions, holding the ball for the, you know, 2 seconds on the shot clock kind of situations in the NBA, that maybe you can do some metrics to say, all right, he's playing a hard 28 minutes. Either way, final minutes of a close game in the fourth or overtime minutes, those are all what you'd call stressful minutes, which are a different animal, right? I mean, look, we're making up metrics all along, so why don't we have someone start charting all that stuff too? When did he look like he had a furrowed brow? That's what we call a stressful minute of NBA action. When we're talking about his age and what they're going to need to do, right? If they're going to repeat, it's going to be an aggressive second half of the season. We're talking from now until May 16th, with the next week being off, so get the rest that you can, play the whatever minutes in the All-Star game, draft your squad, handshakes, kissing babies, whatever the All-Star break entails, signing basketballs or whatever it is, and then you've got to be judicious with the minutes in the second half because you're going to have a long road in the playoffs. And there, while we may say there's separation between the three best teams in either conference, there's still a lot of good teams that are going to tax them, right? Well, I don't see any real walkovers for the most part, you know, in the Western Conference, even as you get to the final seeds, right? Whoever battles and gets into the back end of the bracket is still, one, they'll have won a few games, so they'll have a little bit of momentum. But two, in they can push a series. And extra minutes, extra stress, and with Anthony Davis being a huge wild card to all this, you've got to find the rest and maximize your opportunities where you can.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dough on the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So again, still just under 5 minutes left to go. The Lakers down by three. Again, playing tonight without LeBron James, without Anthony Davis, no Kareem, no Magic, no Worthy tonight. Worthy's doing the post game. Tonight's a tough one for the Lakers. Meanwhile, so many different big games tonight and big stories. And we got into the Donovan Mitchell aspect of the Jazz loss to the Sixers tonight. Because, look, clearly what could be an NBA Finals preview, and you know, yeah, it's an NBA Finals preview. It doesn't involve the Lakers. Wait a minute. Yeah, no, these are two terrific teams. You're talking about the best team in each conference, right? That's what we have. Utah loses in overtime. We got into the Donovan Mitchell aspect of it a few minutes ago. A ridiculous double technical on him that got him ejected from the game. Apparently now you can't argue calls at all. The NBA is not physical, and the NBA is going to have a lot of explaining to do this weekend and about officiating in general, because the players have had it, and I can't blame them. I get it. The NBA has been one way for a while. Everything has been good. Now suddenly things are changing how they're officiating games. I get the players being upset. But this conversation is going to be a little bit different, because this is about the team that won the game, and more specifically, the guy who brought them the win, because Philadelphia is the number one team in the East thanks to the first half NBA MVP, who, oh, by the way, did this tonight.
Tobias Harris to Embiid. Embiid is pushed by Bogdanovich 9 seconds ago. Dribbles beyond the arc. Fakes a three. Shoots a three. It's up. And good! 5.9 to go. Embiid is tied in at 118. Sixers are going to win this game. Tobias Harris, he missed two games in a row. He has 11 points in overtime. And the Sixers beat the Utah Jazz. Final score here tonight in Philadelphia. 131 to 123.
Sixers Radio Network on the call. Joel Embiid with that three at the end of regulation to tie it. 40 points tonight, 19 rebounds, hit a couple of threes. He's the MVP of the NBA so far, and it's not even close with other people. All right? There's nobody who has been as consistent as Embiid from the beginning of the season until now, right? You've had other players have great runs, right? LeBron was great for a while. It was, hey, LeBron could win the MVP. Then what happened? The Lakers lost four in a row. LeBron didn't play that well without Anthony Davis, and suddenly there goes LeBron's MVP candidacy. James Harden was awful in the beginning. He quit with the Rockets and barged his way out of town and bullied the Rockets into a trade. And since he's been with the Nets, he's been terrific. But there's that beginning of the season that James Harden was not just not playing well. He was a bad teammate and a bad guy, right? So you have that going on. You had about 10 days where Steph Curry was scoring 35 points late at night. It was, oh, if Steph could get the Warriors into the playoffs, sure, that was potential. But that has kind of come and gone. Nobody has been as consistent as Joel Embiid. This is a guy who has gone through this year in his career and had that Shaquille O'Neal moment of, okay, I've had fun for the first half of my 20s. Now I got to get serious about winning. And what that happened with Shaquille O'Neal. He left the Magic, went to the Lakers. He was still fun, but he was fun with an edge. He wins three NBA titles with the Lakers, NBA Finals MVP in them. He goes and wins another one with the Heat, and he walks off saying, there's my NBA legacy. It's secure. Joel Embiid had that moment in this offseason, whether it was him realizing it, Doc Rivers bringing it out of him, but he has become that monster that we all thought he was going to be. I said, remember the last couple of years, you know me with the Sixers, when are Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons going to go from, hey, we're having fun, we're star players, we play well every night, into, hey, it's time for us to really lock down and get into winning and understand what it takes to win and win titles in this league, because our legacy is not going to be great. And you've seen Embiid take that to heart this year. I mean, look, the guy's averaging 30 points a game. All right, Embiid has gone from, hey, he's a dangerous guy, to now he's giving you 30 and 12 every night, right? His player efficiency rating is second in the NBA. The Sixers are at the top of the Eastern Conference. There's nobody else that I could say deserves the MVP so far than Joel Embiid. And he's a guy not getting any of the run, because it's been LeBron and then a little bit of Steph and a little bit of Harden, but they have all had big gaps on their resume so far, and Embiid has been great from opening night till tonight.
Yeah, I think part of it is reputation, right? We've been waiting for that breakthrough, so people are saying, hey, let's finish the job. What are we doing? Well, we're talking about the contenders going towards a title. It's the, all right, Doc Rivers gets you a push, but we've also seen bad Doc Rivers in playoffs, right? We had all the talk after the Clippers got bounced of what was wrong in the coaching aspect. Again, you take it with a grain of salt because you got a bunch of guys looking to pass the buck, but the reality is the same. It failed, and you blew a 3-1 series lead. Again, something that is, seems to be unique to Doc Rivers. Okay, so, and also Ben Simmons, the billion-to-one shot of hitting a three-point shot, right? It's the, if you were shooting for a car, would you rather have the guy coming out of the back of the 300 level or Ben Simmons shooting to win that car for you? Probably the guy that's sitting in the 300 level. Just calling it what it is. It's not being mean.
I don't want Ben Simmons taking that shot for me. I'd rather have some dude that's drinking a beer all the way up there. Hey, come on down. You look like you can hit a nice three. You got a nice big shooting stroke. Nice smooth one. Go ahead. Take that shot for me.
I'm only half kidding. But that's the thing that comes down to it. Can you take him away from what his game is? Right, and force him to work outside and not get the dribble drive that makes him so effective. We've seen that erased in the past. So I think with Joel Embiid, a lot of why he's not on that, you know, hey, let's talk about him. One, he's a big man, and two, it's just history. We've been expecting it, and it hasn't come. So at some point, you finally just move on saying, you know what, it's not going to happen. Right, it's you and your Jets waiting for them to get over, or whichever analogy you want to use for all the teams that we've watched through the years and guys that you've cheered for saying this is going to be the breakthrough. Look, they got him an extra wide receiver. Or look, they got him the point guard he needed so they could have a great two-man game. Nope. This is the year that, you know, this guy changes his attitude from being, I need to score first, to being a team player and a winner. You can insert any Hollywood movie for that. So it's just, I think that's why Joel Embiid loses, right? He's not the sexy candidate, right? Steph Curry, you can keep showing, hey, there he is with his pregame ritual of this jump shot from the middle of nowhere. And then here's a couple of pull-up threes from 35. Cool. LeBron James, watch him barrel over guys or put back dunk or whatever, finding the open man for an easy lay-in. All of those things that we've come to expect. With Joel Embiid, you're trying to get that highlight package today and get him over. He's got 40 and 19, but we're talking about Donovan Mitchell getting tossed more than we are about how much, you know, Embiid affects the stat line and right now is affecting the game. Unfortunately, while I agree with you, he should be the lead guy. The others have better stories. Look, even James Harden. Everybody forgot he forced his way out, at least for the moment. When they vote, will they feel the same?
Mm. I'll tell you, it's going to be tough, but the NBA knows one thing, and what they like to do is they like to anoint new superstars.
Sure.
Right? So if they give James Harden MVP, I mean, look, this isn't how they do it, but it's how the NBA does it. The NBA and the Oscars are kind of the same, where they both want to reward somebody for the career they've had. Right? You can't tell me that, oh, well, here this year, so-and-so was so great in this movie, and it's probably like their fifth best movie, but they've had a great career, they've made Hollywood money, so we can anoint them by giving them an Oscar. Right? The NBA likes to create new stars, and giving Harden MVP, does that help them? No. Giving LeBron the MVP, does that help them? No. Does it help Steph Curry if they get? No. But does Joel Embiid become a superstar if he walks away with the MVP? Damn right he does. Joel Embiid becomes, hey, he's a now guy we can market and can be a big deal, and he can be the next Giannis. Because now Giannis has become a superstar, winning a couple of MVPs and doing that. Because if Giannis doesn't have the MVPs, boy, we are just relentless on Giannis about how he hasn't been able to achieve and do things and lead the Bucks. But you win the MVP, it's a pretty big deal. So Giannis becomes a star, a little bit polarizing, but hey, he's another one the NBA created by giving him the MVP. So Joel Embiid, they can create another superstar by giving it to Embiid, and that's why I like his chances even more.
I like the way you laid that out. Try to find the new marketing, and if you can market Philly, right, and that means they won't hate you. Mm-hmm. Sorry, cheap joke, had to do it. Mm-hmm. Philly's a place you can still go to.
Yeah.
I think your Detroit privileges got revoked.
I said I like the trade for Jared Goff. They got draft pick. No, I said I like that trade. I'm okay. I can go to Detroit.
Okay. I was trying to give you an out.
No. I mean, listen, the first place we're going when we can travel again is to Detroit. I already know this, right? There's no getting out of it, right? Detroit is where we're going. All these exotic – where are you going to go for a location? You're going to go to Cabo San Lucas or Puerto Vallarta. You're going to go to Banff. You're going to go to Amsterdam. No, I'm going to go to Detroit. I already know. Detroit's happening. That's where it's going to be. First place we can go is going to be Detroit.
I'm looking for something better.
You want to trade with me? I mean, the thing is, that's the family I married into. I married into a family where she's from Detroit. I mean, it'll make you tough. You go back to Detroit for vacations, man.
I'm from the south side of Chicago. I'm good, man.
You'll be tough. No. That's like the junior varsity compared to Detroit. You go to Detroit, you're tough, man. Yeah, you're tough. You try going up to a Winchell's in Detroit at 1 o'clock in the morning and getting the right order on donuts and not getting into a fight with a guy. Not saying I ever did that. Not saying that ever happened. But I'm just saying, you know, things like you got to watch out for, man. You got to always got to be on your guard there.
I'll do you one better. White Castle near Midway Airport, 3 a.m. Boom. Post bars on a Friday night. Good luck.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike Gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save a bundle on your auto insurance. Well, coming up next, a crazy story involving Dodgers star Trevor Bauer and how the tiniest thing nearly flipped him from signing with the Dodgers to signing with another team. We got that coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Kings and Lakers, oh boy, is this one fun down to the wire. We'll have an update on it coming up in about 5 minutes. But a crazy story today out of Major League Baseball, courtesy of Trevor Bauer's agent, Rachel Luba, who was appearing on the Barstool Sports podcast, Starting Nine. And she told a story about how, well, according to Rachel Luba, that Trevor Bauer nearly signed with the Mets over a merchandise snafu. Now, if you remember the day that Trevor Bauer made his decision to sign with the Dodgers over the Mets, it mistakenly, some merchandise went out that Trevor Bauer autographed a Mets hat, and it had the hashtag LFGM on it, which is the Mets hashtag, Let's Blank and Go Mets, which was coined by Pete Alonso. And when this got out there, Trevor Bauer was really concerned about it. And according to Rachel Luba on the podcast, she said, I was getting screenshots. I didn't know what was going on. I called Trevor. You know, that's marketing. It's not me. Trevor was very upset that this got out. And he just said, you know what? It's the Mets. I'm going to go to the Mets. I can't disappoint the fan base. I can't do this. I have to go to the Mets. And Rachel Luba said, why don't you take some time? Why don't you, you know, I understand it's a big decision. Why don't you take some time? Why don't you go out and go for a walk and come back and tell me about it and give me your decision? And Trevor Bauer said, nope, sorry, it's done. I can't do this. It's the Mets. I'm going to go play there. And then she again said to him, listen, how you reacted just now, you know, you have to think this through more. It's a life-changing decision. And then Rachel Luba said that Trevor Bauer returned and told her, I want to go to the Dodgers. And this is how Trevor Bauer wound up going to the Dodgers. So this leak of Mets merchandise with Bauer's name on it associated with him nearly caused Trevor Bauer to go to the Mets.
Think about that, buddy.
Let me think if I, first of all, let me think if I really believe that story. I really want to go to the Dodgers, my lifelong dream. Look at the money they're giving me. Oh, it got out that I autographed a hat for the Mets? Oh, then I should go to the Mets. I mean, really? I really was that close? Really? I mean, Trevor Bauer is that kind of guy going, well, they got out. I'll take the next 3 years of my life in New York, I guess, even though I really want to go to the Dodgers. Nope, an autographed hat got out. I'm going to go to the Mets. Really? I mean, look, do I think for a second there was some kind of conversation about this? Of course there was, but really, Trevor Bauer's, you know, for the next 3 years, because this gets out somehow, I'm going to go play with the Mets. My second choice instead of the Dodgers, my first choice, no way. I don't believe this part of the story at all, that almost caused him to go to the Mets instead of the Dodgers, that he twice told his agent, nope, it's the Mets. The decision's done. It's done. It was made for me. The snafu that came out, it was made for me. I can't do it. I can't go to the Mets. I'm going to the Mets. I'm going to do it even though I don't want to go there. And I used the Dodgers, used the Mets as leverage the entire time so I could get this offer from the Dodgers. No. I will go to the Mets. Yeah. I'm believing that.
It's brilliant. I enjoy it immensely. And I believe every word. Now you're coming up with now it's fairy tales. As we go through this, it's done. Why do you need to keep talking about it? Any spin? I mean, do you really want to keep pushing this? It's just starting to look silly. The more you talk about it, take nothing away from whatever the negotiations were, whatever the final pieces were to get him to LA, but it's a done deal. Don't belabor it, because I think you're starting to cheapen the act of what Trevor Bauer accomplished last year and the contract you were able to negotiate. I mean, what's going to be the next fairy tale that they go out? He had a dream. He saw it while he was in a sauna or a sweat lodge.
I mean, I was in a sweat lodge.
You know, he sat outside, had a nice fire going. He saw one of those videos on Instagram where you learn how to cook a steak over the open fire, find some, you know, random logs in the field, and there it is, the, you know, basically an endorsement of cast iron skillets always being in the back of your truck with a piece of meat and a cleaver. I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, I saw this earlier and immediately texted you and go, here you go. More fairy tales about how this came to pass.
I mean, really, I can understand where maybe there was that moment of, okay, now I get down to this decision. It's really tough and there's waffling, right? I get that. I get
sure,
that you waffle for
course.
Decisions. It's a big decision to make. But I'm not making the decision. Nobody makes a decision based on, well, fate intervened. And because that LFGM hat got out there with my autograph on it, I got to go there. No. No, that's not happening. I think that's a fun story, and it's something that clearly, you know, cut through because it's been picked up by a lot of places, but there's not a second I believe that. I mean, for a guy that's as calculating as Trevor Bauer is, because that's the one thing, the guy is calculating. He knows everything about what he wants to do with his brand, and this is why he has Rachel Luba as his agent, right? She's new, you know, she's next level, what it means to be able to market yourself in a social media age. This is why that's why they're together, right? This is why she's the next Scott Boras. There's no way that this is oh, well, it's too bad that I'd have loved to play for the Dodgers, too, man. That would have been great. But, well, now that autographed hat got out. So, all right, 3 years in Flushing. Yay. Going to go do it. I mean, I really, there's just no way.
But I want to be a man of my word. Look, we teased it with merch. You could have just said,
"Oh,
you know
what? I'm sorry, you have to go now. The merch got out."
Yes, we pushed a mock-up page. Who hasn't heard that from a million websites and whatever through the years, right? Something that has a bunch of Latin on it because you want to see how it renders in different browsers. And I mean, obviously, this is now very particular and specific, being a Mets hat that's autographed. But you could just say, "Hey, we had a bunch of these prepared. And unfortunately, we pushed that one. Sorry, here's a big virtual hug."
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to, hey, we'll do an auction for 10 other hats I'll sign more Mets hats for you, and you can wear them, or you want Dodger hats or baseballs or cleats or whatever it is, and you can do some good for the community, right? He still came up with a bunch of money that's gonna and greetings and good tidings for when they next play at Citi Field. So I mean, there's some good that came out of it that way. But yeah, this story just became just stop. Just stop adding it.
he really almost did that. Okay. Because I know about embellishing stories. I'll do that once in a while. Like if I'm telling a story in mixed company, like off the air, and I'm telling a story, the story would go better. Or if I'm telling a story to my team, you know, and I want to tell them an analogy in soccer or baseball.
You can't work blue.
Softball that works. And if I'm not working blue, hey, you, all you 12-year-olds, get around me. All right? You're going to say some words here that you guys aren't going to like, but you know what? Blank all of you. Okay, this is what I got to say. So I'll find a way if I want to give them, you know, that's basically when it happens sometimes. Like, all right, I want to basically tell them a good story and give them an analogy. And okay, will I embellish stuff? Yeah, sure, I'll do that. And I always get caught by Zoe because she's the cop, and she says, "Dad, that story didn't happen that way." I'm like, "Should you stop? I'm trying to tell somebody something." So it's kind of funny, and I'll go,
she's
"Well, here's the reason
you
I was
a
doing
fibber."
That. And she goes, "Oh, okay, I get it." I'm like, "Yeah, don't sit there." I go, "Dad, that story didn't happen that way."
It's like, okay to lie.
No, just it's all right. This is how it goes. All right, shh. This is what happens. I'm telling a great story, and our team is going to play better because I'm telling this story. Just so we all know, shh. So yeah, but I mean, to the point where it's going to change life. I mean, no, I mean really.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Well, tonight was James Harden's triumphant return to Houston, a day after the Rockets owner said, "Hey, we're going to retire your number, James Harden. Remember how you quit on us and forced a trade and really just threw the city and the team in the trash? Hey, it's okay. It's been a month and a half. All's forgiven, man." Harden has a big night for the Nets as the Nets roll to victory over the Rockets. And look, the Rockets aren't having a good season. Surprise, surprise. And went at 132-114. And Harden clearly showing the Rockets, hey, this is what you're missing with 29 and 14 assists. Remember, the Nets still playing without Kevin Durant, who was out through the All-Star break. Now, look, as the Nets get to the break, here they are 24-13. They started out a little rough, and now they have played as well as anybody in the NBA the past couple of weeks. Who are the Nets? The Nets have proven, I'll tell you what they've proven. The Nets are regular season tough. Like, they have proven to be regular season good, right? With the talent they have, they can just show up on any given night and beat a team by 20. This is mainly because there are only six good teams in the NBA, right? You have the top three teams in the East, which are the Nets and the Sixers and the Bucks, and the top three teams in the West, which are the Jazz, the Lakers, and the Clippers. And then you have everybody else. Everybody else is 500. Everybody else is the Knicks, okay? Everybody else is just a team going out there. Hey, we're playing the three stars. All right, we'll go out there. We'll give it a shot, but who knows? They have proven to be regular season dominant. But this is not a Nets team that's going to be judged on the regular season. You're going to have to find me, and you're going to have to wake me up in the conference semis when the Nets are clearly at risk of being bumped out of the playoffs, because this is when the pressure gets big. And as you know, guys like KD, and even though they've won championships, Durant and Kyrie and Harden aren't the most mentally tough of players when it comes to handling pressure. KD can't handle pressure. Kyrie, who knows what pressure does to him, because who knows how he's going to show up during the regular season, let alone in the playoffs, with all the pressure in the world on him. And this is when teams are going to take advantage of how poor they are defensively. Okay, tonight, you watch the backcourt for the Rockets go for 69 points. Wall went for 36. Oladipo goes for 33. And they're both really good players, but really, 69 points out of the starting backcourt, that's what kept the Rockets hanging around in this game. So this is really what it is for me, Mike, is that they've proven they're good in the regular season, right? Regular season tough, yes, they'll roll through. They'll probably be the first or second seed when it gets to the playoffs. But that second round, when you start playing a team that's pretty decent, that defensively, that can cause you problems because you're bad defensively, and how you handle the pressure, that's to me when the season really starts for the Nets. It doesn't start to, now it's just going to be practice until we get to that part in the season, because that's when they get vulnerable.
Yeah, I think when we look at it, this is a team in progress, right? Kevin Durant's not even playing at this point. He's on his long hiatus which is moderately concerning. Again, we're still only at a handful of games, really, that you've been able to see this team play together. So that remains an issue. But I think part of it, you look at defensively, how much of that comes into play because, well, they're putting up 130 points in a lot of these games. And the offensive efficiency needs to be noted as well, right? When we see teams in other sports that pile up runs or points, right? Baseball, football, respectively, there's always a little bit of a give. Well, why'd they give up 28 points? Oh, they scored 45 and they started playing a prevent defense. Or in baseball, well, they were up 10-0 against the Mets, and so they pulled their starter in the sixth, and now it was a, all right, they gave up a couple of runs, meaningless, but guys' ERAs got tattooed a little bit towards the back end of that game. And, it, you know, their bullpen ERA looks worst for it. Again, Mets, just an example. I mean, not speaking anything into existence. But just that idea with the Nets, I think they'll be ready when it comes down to it, and they'll make an addition or two here in the short term that'll, again, make them battle-tested and ready for the Eastern Conference, which, again, is littered with teams with questions all over. You trust Giannis and the Bucks? No. Do we trust the MVP candidate Joel Embiid and the Sixers? Maybe a little more, but still, they've got no track record to say, you know what, they've been there, they've done that. No, they've collapsed, or they've been hurt. So, you know, I'll take my chances with a guy like Durant and with Kyrie Irving and his sagebrush that they'll be ready to go.
Oh, look at you with the sagebrush. Hey, I have to clear the court of all these bad spirits getting into the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because our defense is terrible, and these guards could just go for all kinds of points against us. So let me clear the court of all of these angry spirits.
Hey, can you clear the court of guys making threes because you can't get out on the arc to defend it? If you could clear the court of that, that'd be pretty cool.
I mean, that's how I would heckle if I was
in
the playoffs. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Fox Sports Radio coming up next. An update on the Tiger Woods story that absolutely had to happen. We called for it last week, and it's happening now. What is it? We'll tell you next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios, where we just watched Montrezl Harrell miss a layup. Lakers lose, minus LeBron James, to the Kings, 123-120. So the Lakers kind of limp into the All-Star break, and we talked about it earlier this hour. No team needs the All-Star break as bad as the Lakers do. Clearly, look, everything is fine. You want to avoid being second or third, you know, when you have to play either the Clippers, you know, you have to play the Clippers probably, or the Jazz in the second round. You want to finish first, so you don't have to play either the Jazz or the Clippers, but I don't know that the Lakers can make a run at that number one overall seed, because it just don't look like they're a team that's had that kind of impetus to wanting to succeed this season and get that number one seed. I would say, you know, look, Utah's that team. They want it. They want the number one seed, and they're clearly been playing the best so far in the season. And they got a 3-game lead over the Suns and the Clippers, and now it's 4 in the loss column over the Lakers. That's going to be a tough 4 games to overcome there.
Yeah, you know how I feel about these things, especially when we don't really have. I'm not optimistic that you necessarily have fans in the stands by the playoffs. As much as you may get a little bit from governmental officials to say, yeah, we're working hard to get people in by baseball opening day. I still have my reservations on saying, yes, I have no doubt that they will get this right and that they will be able to make that happen. I'm sorry, my cynicism Look, that's why I'm a sports talk radio host. I have to take everything with a giant pile of salt, as our friend Rick Bucher has said in the past. So pushing for the number one seed here in Los Angeles, I don't think it has the same push. And you know that when your back's against the wall, when there's all sorts, you know, every euphemism that we can throw out there, how you won in the bubble, you're a team that can rally. Now you just need to get Anthony Davis sound. That's goal number one by May 16. Everything else is so far down the list, it doesn't even matter right now.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Los Angeles.
I said Miska, Muska, Mickey Mouse.
Meanwhile, elsewhere is what I meant to say. Miska, dun, 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 dun. Meanwhile, something we thought needed to happen last week is happening, right? When the L.A. County Sheriff's Department announced that Tiger Woods is not going to face charges for his car accident, this was announced by Sheriff Alex Villanueva, we told you it was really early for that. It was weird. Not that I was looking for Tiger Woods to be punished for anything. Not that I was looking for Tiger Woods, but aha, you got to catch him. He did something illegal. But to suddenly just say right after the accident that, hey, you know, Tiger wasn't drunk. You know, he didn't seem like he was under the influence of anything else, so he's not going to be charged in this. What about reckless driving? Well, we could pull his phone records if we have to, but there's no crime here. That was really early to say that, because you need to do your due diligence and make sure that, you know, nothing untoward happened. Was Tiger Woods texting while it happened? Was he on the phone? Was he speeding? These are all things that fall under the category of reckless driving. And these are not felonies, and I don't want to see Tiger Woods put behind bars, but due diligence is supposed to be done by police officers. And Villanueva, I felt at the time, wanted to be the guy to stand up and say, I'm protecting Tiger Woods. Yes, I am standing up and standing in front of all of you, and I am going to protect Tiger Woods. That's not your job, man. You're the sheriff. Your job is to find out exactly why this accident happened. Okay, and you can't sit here and tell me, oh, we can clear somebody from it, when you have no idea what occurred. You just don't. And then today, finally, we get a statement from the deputy sheriff, which, you know, doesn't make Villanueva feel great, that they are going after the black box in the SUV that Tiger Woods was driving so they can find out if a crime was committed. According to John Schlogel, quote, if somebody's involved in a traffic collision, we've got to reconstruct the collision. If there was reckless driving, if there was on their cell phone or something like that, we determine if there was a crime. So now, apparently, either cooler heads prevail or they realize, boy, we kind of blew it by standing up and saying no charges for Tiger Woods. This is what's supposed to be done. And it really does fall under the category of due diligence, because this is what happens in a situation like this. Because the last thing you want is for something like this to get hushed up and you feel it all. Tiger Woods is a celebrity. This pushed it. Look, I feel awful for the guy, right? I want the guy to walk normal again. I want him to have a normal life as he possibly could. I want to see him on the golf course again. But it's about doing things the way you're supposed to do them. And it really just struck me as wrong the way that the LA County Sheriff's Department went after it last week. Now, today feels like the correct, and they're doing the right thing. And whatever they find, they find. And if it's a misdemeanor, it's a misdemeanor. If they find nothing, they find nothing. But at least now I feel like, okay, this is how they're supposed to do things.
Yeah, I think when you go through what the black box is supposed to be, I think for many this is a revelation that they're in your car. As if it's a newer car, they're in there. Because they always thought it was just in planes and trains and, well, now automobiles. That joke was not intended, but that you always hear about it when there is a something aerial that you got to find it, try to find all the recordings that you can to see. In this case, talking about how you're driving, you're braking, all the different elements of the electrical system, etc., that can be logged, right, and speeds all the way through, so perhaps you can recreate that area. If nothing else, from the civic side of things, been a lot of discussion about how you handle that stretch of road, because you do have so many tales of, hey, you go from 45 to 80. I've been there. I've driven that with great regularity. So maybe just from a, hey, we need more data to make our case of how we need to change up the area, how it's patrolled, etc. Maybe this helps push it because it became an international story.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, a quarterback story that has changed the offseason in the NFL. This is Fox Sports Radio.